On page Mam Gimel, Kitzaranu. For Moichen de Katnus. Moichen de Katnus, there's a Golas way of thinking, a Golas way of looking not only at life, but at Torah as well. That's what we're going to see in the next paragraph. The way of learning, a way of thinking. The identifying feature of Moichen de Katnus is the same way, and the tzaddik is going to talk about this more in a minute, the same way that a child is only able to really be focused on a piece, never on the whole. A child only knows the inyan that's in front of him. And for those of you who have little nieces or nephews, or sometimes yourselves act like children, so then you know that when you become fixated on the inyan, on the piece, then you even though intelligent, rational people or that rational part of yourself will say, but there's something much bigger, you have to pay attention to the whole thing, doesn't make a difference, because you can't get yourself out of that piece that you're stuck in, the piece. The gather of Moichen de Katnus is that way of looking. Again, a person can be a genius. It's nothing to do with intelligence. It's a way of seeing things from that perspective of being on top of the mountain and looking and seeing everything, or from being in the valley, among the trees, how you look at things. So on the top of page Mem Gimel, Vina Inyan Chiyas Mutzumtzemes. Now remember, Golus is a time of Chiyas Mutzumtzemes. The Grod described that, we were talking about this last week, that there's only a faint trace of life that's left, that was left in us, just like the mace in the ground, there's that kusta de chiyusa, that little bit of life that's somehow miraculously preserved in the luz, in that part of the body, in that bone, and from there will be a tchiyah. So in yichiyas mutzumtzem azu, he said moichen de katnus. This state of limited life, chiyas mutzumtzemes, that is the trademark of Golus, Shkai, thank you. Of Chiyas Mitzumtzemes, that is Golus. This is the side of Moichen de Katnus. Hatomim is Matzavena Begolus, Shubchinus Hesperus Haguf L'Resisa, where the body, in this case we're talking about Am Yisrael, is broken into shards, into pieces, into little pieces, into many, many, many fragments. Moichen Elohim Achiyas L'Resisam HaNefradim. And imagine each one of us as a piece of Am Yisrael, a piece of something much bigger, and that little piece has in it a little bit of life. Like one of the experiments that cruel little children like to conduct is to cut a worm into pieces and to enjoy watching how each piece of the worm somehow has its own chiyus. So there's the metzias of the worm. How does that work? You cut it into pieces and each piece is moving around a little bit. Whatever the scientific thing is, there's a certain kusta de chiyusa, there's a chiyus that's giving life to that piece. That's golus. Each piece is able to survive, to get up in the morning, to put on tefillin, even to make a siyum hashas and so on. To even be a great person, but v'hem l'maisa hasheres the tefisas achayim ulavoides Hashem b'meshach yimehagolas. But this is the sheres of a certain tefisas achayim. It's a way of looking at life, and a way of avoides Hashem throughout all of the years of golus, even by great people. Of course, great people, there are different types of great people. But shehi avoides Hashem shekol teik shehu levadu l'atzmo. This is the avoides Hashem of each cell. Of each separate person, each separate kehila, separate community, separate yeshiva, separate chassidus, whatever it is, but to itself. What is it that gives us life? Our avodas Hashem is what gives us life. Our avodas Hashem is what enlivens us. That through the long years of Golus, that madrega of life, of avodas Hashem and of life, was limited, and we were not able to experience madrega zechayim hagedola shel haguf kulay. Yeah, there were individual Jews who achieved unbelievable levels of greatness, emes. But even those were people, to a large extent, who were not able to influence the multitudes to join them in that journey. So they were great people. They were great people. You still have this mentality. You know, you can step into a shtiebel someplace in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak or Brooklyn or Muncie, whatever, and there'll be some very, very, very choshev yid who's the Rav. You know, he stands there at the shtender, he sits at the shtender in the front, and he's a very heilig yid, and you know, he's waving his hands, and he's in a higher place, and the rest of the olam is like, could be playing poker or sheshbesh, you know what I mean? There's no shaychus bechlal to what this person is, who he is a Baal Madregas. And even, forget about Am Yisrael, just the olam that's in the Bais Medrash, two different metzias, two different worlds. Something happened in Golas. It's called Moichet Dekatnus. A separation. Not a goof. Pieces. Kodom Chayesh and Nishmasa Bekirbo. Not like a person who's alive with an Neshama. V'kach Rak Nitzayetz Dak Shara Al Kol Eva V'chal Tei Levadai. Therefore, there's only a little spark, a very little subtle spark of life that rests upon each separate aver, each separate cell. Limshach by ma'at chayim, where it has a little bit of life. Laman yokum haguf l'tchias ha'lomer. The same way that the mace lies in the grave with that little bit of life, it's not mechayim, it's not enough to give mechias, but just to preserve him until the day of tchias ha'mesim, when he'll be brought back to life. So too, Am Yisrael, through the years of Golus, each individual Jew lived with this kusta de chiyus, a little bit of life, and we're waiting and waiting for that time when all of the evarim of Am Yisrael will be brought back together. That began with the return to Eretz Yisrael, and then the ruach, like in the vision of Yechezkel, the ruach will enter, and the neshama of Am Yisrael will be back in the guf in Eretz Yisrael as Am Yisrael. Moichin de katnis elim kameyadah shel hakatnis. I said before, moichin de katnis is the way that a child thinks. Shechoshev rak al atzmai. A child thinks only about himself. Veinu mesugel laharchiv dait ulahargish eschay ha'acher. A child is not mesugel to expand, to broaden his way of thinking, and to feel the life of another person. Therefore, even Latoiv, if it's in the best interest of this child, and how a child could say, a child meets a kid, and they just met 10 seconds ago, and say, you want to be my best friend? So, sure. And they'll be best friends in a minute. Because it's not an inyan of a kesha, there's no kashas. It's this other kid made me laugh, or this other kid threw me the ball, or this other kid gave me a potato chip. So that's it. That's the kesha. The kesha is a kesha of katnas, friendships between children. It's katnas. The word katan comes from the word keta. What does keta mean? What does the word kuftes ayin? What does it mean? It means a paragraph, a piece. The word kat, kuftes, means a piece, a moment. Rega kat. Even in English, the word kat. There are many words in Lashon Kodesh with it. Keta, all words that have kuftes come from this family. A cotton means it's just a piece of something. He doesn't have a kesha to anything else. He's katua. He's katua. A godl is the opposite. Godl is a lashon of good achis, good asik. It means where something has a hemshech. Like a good achis and a godl gimel dalet means where there's a kesha. Gimel dalet. When somebody helps somebody else, there's a kesha. Even an aramis, a good god means a bridge. Baruch marchiv god. The word God always means harchav, godless. Baruch marachiv God. It means godless. It means when something has a hamshach. The need of a giddi, that what identifies a giddi is that it jumps from one place to the other. A katan is confined to a small little dal amas. It also means a bridge. All gimel dalads have this inyan of godless, harchava, baruch marachiv God. Marachiv God. A katan is the opposite. A katan is shakua in himself. He's very limited in himself. He'll be talking about himself when you have a conversation with a katan. It could be even an adult, but a katan. And he's talking about himself the whole time. And then when he realizes that this is starting to sound silly, he'll say, "Now, what do you think about me? Enough talking about myself. What do you think about me?" That's his whole world. He doesn't have a world outside of himself. The love that the child has for his parents is because these people, they service me. They take care of me. So, it's not a hachava. It's not a hachava. He's in a mesugal harchiv dait lahargish his chayi ha'achim. A child's not masugal to live a life of harchava, where he mamish feels what another person is feeling, where he's able to really identify with the other person, and to be in that person, to have a kesher with the person. A katan doesn't have such an inyan. V'kal v'chaymishu rochik melahargish es ha'achdus amitish shebeinu v'vein ha'acher. Doesn't have an achdus. There's no inyan of achdus. A katan lives a life that is katua, that's a keta, it's a chapter, it's a paragraph, it's a piece, it's not a whole. A katan's incapable of that. That's katanus. And the kid could be a genius. Again, it has nothing to do with intelligence. He could be a genius. If even the big genius is a kid, you can't trust him to carry something through, to be a balachrayis. A balachrayis is a godl, it's a balachrayis. A balachrayis, a godel sees, he's royas hanoila to see how this nekuda in time has an effect upon the next nekuda in time. A katan doesn't see that, he lives in that nekuda. And if this nekuda makes me feel good, so. Doesn't think about the consequences. A godel always thinks about how this moment has a shaykhis to other moments, how I have a shaykhis to other people. How I'm part of something much bigger. And in Mela, I have an achrayis. I have an achrayis. Achrayis comes from the word acher. There's somebody else. It's not just me. A cotton can't be a bal achrayis. Because by a cotton, there's no acher. There's no inyan of the other person. It's himself. He's himself. That's it. So. Shkol Yisrael mavaya achas mamish. To be able to see that all of Am Yisrael is a Havai Achas? No, a katan says he has a different yarmulke. He's not the same as me. He has a different accent. He's not the same. He's not frum. The katan is always koteya, katua, chopping, cutting pieces separate, and the smallest little difference between himself and another Jew, he already can't feel it. He doesn't have a shaychus. It's not a shaychus. It's a pachad, but a katnus, and that's what golus is. The meaning of katnus. Katnus, yeah.
There's also the feeling where you have, let's say, a friend or a relationship that's based on something very simple, and when you try to be marchiv it more, it affects negatively the relationship. Where does that fit in terms of the gullus gula mindset in terms of the relationship?
Oftentimes, those two people were only meant to exist on a practical level, and that there's no hemshech really in those kashrus. And what's very sad is that you have sometimes chever their friends when they're younger, but the friendship was a friendship of katnas. And then when they get older, they try to keep that friendship going, the chever. But there's really no hemshech. because there really is not a. I mean, they're all Yidden, they're all Jews, they can get along, they can love each other, but in terms of being a kesher and being a zivug, it's not. So they tried to keep this friendship going. You have marriages like that too, and it was like you have a lot of times you have a couple, they became the couple in 10th grade, you know. And they swear to each other they're going to get married, and they somehow keep this going. Of course, for like a half a year, they stop talking on the phone because some rabbi told them not to or something. But for the most part, they have this thing going. Many of these couples, some of them work out, most of them don't work out, because they're just they had a relationship when they were ketanim, and they're forcing that to continue when they're gedolim. But they're not in the same. There's no hemshich from one to the other. There's no bridge to bind, to join together too. Guda also means a bridge. There's nothing that binds them together, other than the fact that they're both Jews and that he's a guy and she's a girl. Other than that, there's not much that holds them together. So people linger in these relationships, and they're not fulfilling. They're not getting stronger. They're not growing. They were stuck in a place of katnas, and it served a certain purpose for me at that time in my life. She was pretty, she was cute, she was fun. So in that keta of my life, we had this thing going. We had this thing going. Like in the old Billy Joel song, Lahavdil, Brendan and Eddie were the popular studies and the king and the queen of the prom, you know. I wish I didn't remember that anymore, but I just do. So the popular study is the king and the queen of the prom, you know. And it's so pathetic when the king and the queen of the prom keep on going, even though it ended a long time ago. And they carry that into marriage and to kids and so on. It wasn't coming from a place of godless. As much as they insisted and they were screaming at everybody and they told their parents and they told everybody that this is godless, 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 not godless. And it served my needs for that keta of my life. That doesn't mean that these people can't manage to make it to the end line, to the end zone. They can. But to find this, but if you start, if one is beginning to look for godless in this relationship and the other doesn't get it, is clueless, there can be terrible bitterness and disappointment. So a lot of the, and then the Rav or the psychologist, the therapist is like, what's the matter? You're two nice people. What's wrong? And they can't explain. This is just not what I wanted. But I got married, but you know, so why'd you marry the person? It's never a kasha. I married the person. Yes, me a kasha. Shkoich, why I married the person? I was a cotton. What do you mean you're a cotton? You were 22. You were 23. Yeah, but I was moichin the cottons. Moichin the godless. I wasn't home when I got married. I was away. I wasn't in my place. And now you have tainus against the girl, or vice versa, this tainus. How come you haven't joined me on this journey of godless? Where are you? I'm lonely. I'm living in a house with somebody. I'm married to somebody. I'm raising a family with you. And I'm so terribly lonely. Because there's a godless, a cotton. Doesn't go. Or she became also a gedolah, but she has her own hasagas now. And they're going apart from each other.
Is the existence of godless, though, to know when to be the mochin the godless and mochin the cotton? Or to like...
It's rotzav v'shoyf. That's a sugi. That's a big sugi, rotzav v'shoyf. It's a very, very, very big sugya. To be baki b'ratze, ratze baki b'shoyf. That's the bekiyas that Rabbi Nachman is talking about. Sure. Without that bekiyas, you can't live. Not with the Rabbi Shalom, not with your wife. Baki b'ratze, baki b'shoyf. Bekiyas. A bekiyas b'halacha, Rabbi Nachman says. Ratze b'shoyf, sixth tire. To have such a bekiyas, it's very hard. There's a lot of broken hearts from that Indian. When a person accepts it and says, Beseda, I must speak, you know, I'm not going to make myself crazy. She's a good person. I was a cotton at the time. We were ketanim. We were dating, you know, 11th, 12th, and then we just said, who else am I going to marry? I don't know. I don't know any guy, you know. There's nobody else that I can marry, just you. So they get married. So you can come to be very, very dear and close friends. But the zivug, amiti, and pnimi, it's very hard. It came from a place of cotness. It's very, very hard. It's very hard. A lot of the chevra suffer from this Indian. A lot of the people that I talk to, this suffer from this Indian. It's moichin de katnas, and you get married in a place coming from a place of moichin de katnas. This is the das of a cotton. Kizel tivush la cotton shemugas ba'atma beloma. The teva of a cotton is that he's completely focused on himself and his world. He lives in his dalet amos. B'soiv v'shechayv ha'protim heim hakol. And he believes that his personal private life is hakol. That's it. V'ein dovez ulosam. There's nothing else. Therefore, the tachlis of what he thinks about and what he worries about is himself. And therefore, this relationship was just like it is with his parents. As long as his parents give him and give him and a good to him and kind to him and they don't disagree with him, fine. Same thing with the wife. So they were good. As long as it was fun, it was nice, and this person made me feel happy and made me feel good, so fine. Because it's all about the self. It's all about himself. It's not about a relationship. Now, when somebody's, God forbid, when you have a narcissist, God forbid, or somebody who has strong tendencies like that, they're just incapable. Hashem Yoachim, it's a terrible thing. But they're incapable of making a kesher in a way of godless. They're just incapable of doing it. Incapable. They'll go through 2, 3, 4 wives. They can't do it. They can't. Or they live by themselves. They can't make that connection. They can't. And the problem with that is with that personality, the narcissist, is that they don't know how to hide it well. And because they can't hide it, at some point the wife says, I can't live with this guy. He's all about himself. He's just about himself. When they were going out, he was talking about, you know, I love you, your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night. You can give all the nice moves. But then when it comes down to life itself, it's all about him. There's no inyan of a kesher. A narcissist can't have ksharim like that. You can't have very hard to help a person like that. Hashem Yirachem. Can't make a kesher. Doesn't have a bridge. That's a good. He doesn't have a hemshech. He can't be. There's no harchava. He's locked up in his world. He can't be misrachev. The inyan of sheva God is they're able to have to be me'eva hayarden and still that there should be kedusha sa'aretz. It's a meridic thing. Meaning there's somebody that's across, that's away from you, and you're still able to have a kesher, a harchova, and you're able to schlep the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael to the other side of the Yarden. It's in your baruch ma'arich of God. It's a meridic. That's why it's God gedud yigudenu, like the battalions of the army. They march from one place to the other. God gedud yigudenu. But they march from one place to the other. There's a hemshach, a gate. You're not stuck in one place. You're not stuck in yourself. That's why then, you know, when it says Bo God, like when God was born, it says Bo God. So Rashi brings different pshatim. It means a lashon also of mazel, right? Bo God is mazel. Rashi says mazel. What is mazel? Mazel is the lashon of nozel. It means something that flows from a higher place to a lower place. It flows. It moves. Bo God, Bo mazel. It goes, it moves from one place to the other, from one person to the other. There's a kesher from this place to the next place, from this person to the next person. It's the opposite of katan. Katan is geit nisht. It doesn't go. It doesn't move. It's stuck. It's a katan. Just in he's in his place, in his dalet amos, doesn't it? He's not even capable of making a kinyan. A cotton can't even make a kinyan. So he, in other words, he can't even have a kesha to an emistic kesha to an object, to a metaltlin, to a chefetz. Can't be kinda. He's not able to be kinda anything. He's not able to invest in anything other than himself. He can't bring something else into his world. A kinyan means to bring something else into your world. He doesn't go to that place. He doesn't bring anything else in. He doesn't. He's stuck just in his dalet amos. It's a cotton. That's golus. That's being in golus. Hagolus mashul lemisa l'shena. Therefore, golus is compared to death and to sleep. That's what it means. It's just a little bit of chiyus. That's all that's left. V'lchein ha'geula meshul l'kima me'ofer u'liyukitza mishena. Therefore, geula, redemption, is compared to waking up from the getting up from the dirt, waking up from sleep. Ha'kitza v'ranu shaych ne'ofer. V'inyan ha'yisayrus me'ashena, the inyan of waking up from sleep, hu'atzma yisayda ha'chzaras moichin the godless. It's the secret of the return of moichin the godless. Like a person that didn't get something, he just didn't get the picture, he didn't get the whole thing. He and then when he gets it, he feels like he woke up. He woke up. Now I get it. So there's a person who's going to therapy for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and then all of a sudden he begins to see his life from the perspective of Moichin the Godless. And he's able to put together, oh, that's this, that. All the pieces come together. As long as he was in a place of Moichin the Katnus, he's just screaming and angry and upset. Each piece, he's this and that. Once he comes to Moichin the Godless, everything then comes together. He sees everything from the beginning when he was a little kid. He sees everything, obviously, like that, as a hemshech. He sees everything from the bigger perspective, instead of from katnus. He sees it from a place of godless. That's the trademark of an Adam Gadol. An Adam Gadol, when you talk to an Adam Gadol, there's always that feeling of broadness, of expansiveness, that he's looking at things and he sees things just in the... He sees how everything comes together. A katan only doesn't understand where this is coming from and what the consequences are. It's not achrayus. It's not achrayus. I was just talking to somebody today a little bit. If you see the trademark of a katan, another simon of katan, it's a person that's never on time. He's always running in somewhere and says, where were you? I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't live in a hemshech. He doesn't live in a hemshech. You ask him, how come you were in... Every day is a different shia, you understand? Every day is a different limud. Every day is a different chassidus, a different mesech, a different... It's a katan, you understand? There's no hemshech. Everything is a katanus. And you ask him, how come? I thought you're doing this. He says, you know, that was yesterday. And then he'll say something like, I live one day at a time. Like he thinks he's like a little breslover, you know. Hi, yoyim mekolos. You know, you're just a cotton. A cotton lives one moment at a time. What mesech are you learning? Now? Yeah, as of 12:30, what mesech? As of 12:30, I'm learning Bamas. But at 1 o'clock, I might be learning something else. It's cottons. Everything is katua. Everything is just a piece. It's never on time, because time is, the inyan of time is that there's a hemshech. Marchiv God. The inyan of time is that the person looks at something from the perspective of godless. How does this moment impact the next moment? The one who is never on time or rarely on time is always like fumbling and coming and going. And you ask him, what happened to you? I don't know. It didn't work out. I just didn't make it on time. Because there's no hemshech. He's a katan. Doesn't make a difference if he's 20 or 50 or 80. He's a katan. A katan doesn't go beyond the moment he's in. So then he shows up someplace and he walks into a shul and everybody's already saying shtil shem hasvei. And he walks in, you know, he expects somebody to give a big shalom aleichem. He said, but shul started at 7, now it's 7:30. And everybody's saying shem hasvei. And, you know, he just goes, there's his notion. That's what the katanim always hide, and there's his notion. It's an interesting thing, no? Go to Shtibloch, go to Shul's. You ever see guys that they hang out in Ezra's Nashim? I don't mean on Shabbos. I mean, you know, when there are no women there, they're hanging out in Ezra's Nashim. What is it about those guys that, like, why do they go to Ezra's Nashim? You know what I'm talking about? You always have guys that they dive in Ezra's Nashim. Could be it's small and uncomfortable, but if there's a curtain, I'm behind it. If there's a wall, I'm on the other side. Ketana. It's a katnas. They can't be part of its Tzibur. Could be because of psychological. I'm not saying that it's a vicious. I'm not talking about Tov and Ra. I'm talking about a sickness. They can't be with everybody. And they're also not on time. and on time, and it's uncomfortable to walk into the shul, and everybody's davening. So they walk into the shul, they put on their tefillin. So they have to always be on the other side of the mechitza, somewhere where they, or either that or they go, or they live in Flappish or Borough Park, where every day of your life you get daven in some other minyan, or you go to the shtiblach. That's the best thing in Eretz Yisrael, the shtiblach, ah, machai. Or if you're a Munsi, you go to Visionist or something where no one ever knows if you davened at this minyan or that minyan or what minyan or whether you went to minyan at all, because everything is moving. Or you go behind the Mifal Payis, you know, Malchi Yisrael and Gula, you know, the by the Sfarim store, and you stand over there. If you're lucky, you get close to an air conditioner, and you stand over there, and you know, Mekim, Megait, you know, who's here, what's here, when are you there, when you come in, Farash, Noch Ashre, you understand? It doesn't the cotton. To be part of it, Tzibur. The word Tzibur means Sabur. Sabur means things come together. When you gather things from outside, right? That's what it means. When things are separate and they're gathered together, that's not what the cotton doesn't live that way. The cotton lives in a place of separateness, apart, behind the mechitza, separate, not together, because that creates achrayus. That means I have to face acherim. That creates achrayus. There's an expectation that I come on time. Expectation. The person who's a cotton can't stand when there are expectations of him. It's unbearable that others expect something of him. He can't bear it. It gets him very, very nervous if there are expectations of him. Very nervous. Because an expectation means that you want me to be a gadol. You want me to carry through. You want me to connect the dots. You want me to live a life beyond this moment and harchava, godless. Tzibur, the cotton doesn't want that. He just says, one day at a time. Just one day at a time. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to be 15 minutes from now. And then he could say something like religious afterwards, Hashgach HaPratis, you know. Hashgach HaPratis. This is what Golus is. What's Gula? Hachzoros Meichen the Godless. Oh, that's when you begin to see in a way of harchav. When you begin to see that you begin to see not just there's not the Klai Yisrael, there's a big thing called Am Yisrael, Klai Yisrael. Everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do affects the entire nation. Affects the entire nation. You're part of Am Yisrael. Kedarko Shemisha Misayir Mishinasa. And what happens when a person wakes up from being asleep? That then the brain returns to functioning and carrying out its job in a whole and complete way, where the brain sees again where something comes from. That's an Adam Gadol. A cotton never thinks my ayin ba ula an hoylech. He only thinks of one thing, Eifo ani achshav. Never me ayin basa ula ana tahirlach. That's godless. That I came from somewhere and I'm going to somewhere. No. The cotton can't live that way. The cotton lives only in this peace. Not me ayin basa ula ana tahirlach. Therefore, he doesn't feel an achrayas to his parents. He doesn't feel an achrayas to his children. Not what was before and not what's after. As long as I'm okay, I'm happy. I don't care what was before me, and I don't care what's after me. Not my parents and not my children. Oh, he says he loves his parents, he says he loves his kids. But his achrayis is himself. Only himself. Not any acher. There's no hachav. Rega kat. V'cheinu b'sarvus mishinas agolos. And that's what it means to wake up from Golus. She inyan hachzaros achias v'amoichin shel adam chai. It's the return of the chias of the moichin shel adam chai, a lebedik emesh, adam chai, to be alive. To be alive is where all the dots are connected. It means where everything comes together. To be alive. You know, there's an interesting din. It's an interesting statement in the Gemara, and it has... It's Nagei Lahalacha. I'm not going to go to the Lachas now. Ain't Tzibur Meis. If you learned a little bit, you know what that means. Ein Tzibur Meis. It's an interesting thing. Ein Tzibur Meis. There's no Misa by the collective. In the world of godless, there's no Misa. He's not in a place of Misa. Hachava means chai, means alive. Achzoros achiyus v'amoichin shel odam chai v'loy shel evar mirusokim ha'imdim la'atzvam. Not like bones that are broken and crushed. Each piece is to itself. Page Ramdal. And that's why there's a way of learning Torah that's called the way of learning of Golus. And there's a Torah, there's a way to learn Torah that's called the Torah of Mashiach Tekein. The Torah of Geula. He is Perush Shal Am Hashem L'Resisim. As we learn, Golus means the Perush, the crushing of Am Hashem into pieces, the Resisim. V'mitziyazu Shekol Resis, each piece, each shard, Oymed Levadoi Noitzer Katnus Das. That creates a state of Moichin the Katnus. She Tfisim Etzum Tzemes. Where a person's grasp of things is very mitzumtzum. Again, could be very smart. But the tfis is a tfis of mitzumtzemes. You know, there's an interesting test. I don't know if they still give this. You ever hear the Miller analogy test? You ever hear that? It's interesting. When I applied for graduate school, not far from here in Columbia, there was this test called the Miller analogy test. I'm surprised it's not. Maybe they have something that, I don't know. That was a very big thing then. There were 100 analogies. In other words, A is to B as C is to D. And they would give you different choices. But it was like, it looked like things that had no shaychus one to the other. Say, cat is to India. Like stuff like that. As this is to that. So we had a couple of guys from Yeshiva that were taking that together, and it was and there were around 100, 150 people in the room, and they were scored right afterwards. And the general score of the people that were not from Amcha Beis Yisrael, it was like, you know, like 30 out of 100, 40 out of 100. And the Chever from Am Yisrael were getting like 96, 97, 98, like that. Those kind of schools. There's a certain way of thinking that's called godless. A godl, that's why that analogy test is interesting, that they use that as a very important way of figuring things out, who's coming in, who's not going into this, to that department, to that program in the graduate school. A cotton looks at the information and he can't see the shaykhs that it has to the other. Analogies are very hard for katan. This is to that, like that is to that. He says, what do you mean? This is this. Thus is thus. There is no that. And then you're asking me to make a comparison. It's very hard. Because in a place of katnus, in a way of learning of katnus, in a way of thinking of katnus, you can only be in one place. You can't make it. You don't see the kesher between aleph and beis. What's the kesher? I don't see what the connection is. What's the davar hashava? What's the tzad hashava? What's the tzad hashava? I don't see that tzad hashav. Shav Chaim Briska's lamdus was that to look at a sugi and to say there are two dinim, this or this. In the way of learning of galus, that's already a gula way of learning. Rav Chaim, in the way we spoke about this the last year by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, in the way of galus, the way of galus is what galus is. The sugi consists of 50 different variables. 100 variables, the sugya. And you get crazy. Because you don't see the connection between all the variables in the sugya. So you become like a localized lamdan. You just try to understand that piece. Then Reb Chaim comes along, or anybody with that koyach, like Reb Chaim, Rogachev, Avinezer, and so on, that was something that began. We spoke a lot about that last year. And then these tzaddikim came along and they said, no, chaver. The whole sugya, they're really just two. There are just two things going on. The whole sugya, it's either this or that. There are two dinim in the sugya. Yeah, but what about all the 60, 70 different opinions and rayas? What about all the katnas? It's katnas. It's golos. It's the Torah of golos. The Torah of Mashiach. But the Rogachov is everything in the world. He saw everything in the world like that. Everything in the world, he saw it such a way of lomdus. Because the moichin of the Rogachov was a moichin that was marvelous Orion. The Rogachov was moichin. Was a moichin. Godless, godless, godless. Everything was, everything that he saw was in a category. It fit. Everything came together. Everything was an analogy. When he saw anything in the world, it was part of the, it was part of the Mishnah in Yadayim, but there's a din in Tum and Tahara. Everything, everything in his life was to gather things together into the whole. That's what it means to be a lambda. That's what it means a lambda. To be able to put those pieces together. So Torah is a different, it's a different way of learning. Katnas Adas is everything is separate. Just the piece itself. We learned it's like the trace of life. The little bit of life that the bones and the grave still have. They can get back. Now we'll begin Mitzvah next week. That so too our way of learning in Torah. Our way of learning Torah during the years of Golos was more in the way of pilpul, of pieces, and trying to make sense out of disparate pieces, as opposed to seeing the whole sugya, seeing the entirety of the sugya, and then from there there's the Torah of Yisrael and Torah Chutz La'aretz, and then there's of course Nigla of Torah and Nista of Torah. Once you get to Nista, then it's not about Machlokes at all. Nista is about seeing the whole thing, Elokus Mamish. We'll continue next week. Tonight, this year, we're going to have the Chassidus here. We'll be learning a piece in the Sidei Shar. It's going